Turn in your Bibles this morning to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'll give you a second to get there. Beginning in verse 13, it says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcised of your flesh, he has made us alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out all the handwriting of requirements that was against you, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." We're going to look at several verses this morning that go along this same theme, but I don't want to be rude, but you don't believe me? But one of the things that frustrates me more than anything else about Christians is listening to them talk, listening to how they're defeated they are. Listening to all of the woe with me stuff. Listening to people complain about how hard things are nowadays, how hard their lives are, how bad this world is. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says this. It says, if I could get to the right page. John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly." Jesus didn't die on the cross so we could live a defeated life. He didn't go to all that trouble so you can spend the rest of your life saying, "Woe with me," when you've already won. This father and daughter, he decided to take his daughter for this walk through the prairie. It was just a big, wide open prairie. And they'd been walking for a while, and in the distance, they started to smell smoke, and then they saw it. A fire had erupted, and it actually had grown where it was all the way around them. Didn't seem like there was any escape for them at all. The father was worried, but he did have an idea. He said, he thought to himself, the only way we're going to get out of here is, and this is what he did. He set a fire on the ground all around him in every direction. And it burned out this large section of grass. And they got in the middle of it. As this huge fire drew near to them, they could stand in the middle of this burnt out section and they would be safe because the grass had already been burned where they stood. The little girl was still scared, but the father reassured her, "The flames can't get to us here because we are standing where the fire has already burned." That's an exact parallel to what Christ has done for us on the cross. We don't need all this worry and fear about what the world can do with us because we are standing where Jesus has already been. Amen. We're safe because of what he did on the cross. No matter what you're going through, no matter how frustrated you are, no matter how bad it looks, you're still standing where Jesus has already been. He's already done the job for us. Sometimes we think about the cross, we forget there was more than one thing nailed to the cross. The first and most obvious one was our Savior Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross. There was also this placard nailed to the cross that said, "King of the Jews." And last but not least, every sin in our lives, present and future, were nailed to that cross. Romans 6:6 says this. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. That's who we were. He's talking about who we were, what we used to be. He says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. All our sins were crucified with Jesus right there on the cross. That the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. When the people saw what was going on there that day at Christ's crucifixion, they thought, most all of them thought Jesus was dying for some sin against Caesar, something about Rome. But Jesus was dying for you and for me. Jesus died for our sins. To me, I have a hard time understanding this concept, the whole thing, that he would take all our sins, every one of us, everything we're going to do, and he would die for that. To me, that's just a hard concept. Why me? But that doesn't keep me from being forever grateful for it. You remember the Pharisees? For the most part, the Pharisees started out God-fearing people. Most of them were. That's the way they started. And they were trying to interpret the law of God so that the people could understand it. But it got away from them. What happened? They took the Ten Commandments that they were teaching, and they started adding their own laws. They actually took the Ten Commandments and added over 600 of their own laws. Until it got to a point that no one could stand up to that law. No one could. Half of them didn't even know. Some of the stuff was made up as they went. You might have been okay yesterday, but you're not okay today because they got a couple of new things that you still do. That's basically, it sounds silly, but that's what was going on. Do you ever notice how this modern day church seems to mimic the Pharisees? And by that I mean, we have so many rules that we've made for ourselves. We have rules how to dress, what's appropriate dress, not only in church, but away from church. We have all kinds of rules like that. We have rules what kind of music we should listen to, what kind of music we should play, whether we use instruments or not use instruments. We have rules about who we can talk to and who we can't talk to. We have rules about the places that we can go and on the places that we shouldn't go. It just goes on and on. We even have rules about how we wear our hair. There was a church. This guy was there. I knew him. And he had been there a long time, and he wanted to be a deacon, but it was a huge church, and it was like kind of like in a big church, you got to wait your turn to give up. Well, his term came up, and they told him, cut your hair. You want to be a servant here, you can't be it with long hair. That falls into that 600 rules that the Pharisees made up. All of our religious laws that we're going by now rob us of the abundant life God wants us to live. Remember what it said in John 10? It's hard to go blind. It says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life, and you may have it abundantly. God gave us a joyful life. He forgave our sins and gave us a joyful life. And we, in turn, have done just what the Pharisees did. We have started making up stuff that we think is acceptable. And you know what? In some cases, I guess that's all right, because we can't let things get too out of hand, because you know how people are. But we've included so much stuff that none of us can live by it anymore. And when we get to the point that we can't live by it anymore, it robs us of all the joy we have. We can't stand up to that. I stayed away from church for a long time because I came as a young man from a real strict religious church. And I said, I can't do all that stuff. I can try my best. And I tried for a little while, and then I said, nah, it's too hard. That's what the Pharisees did to the early Christians. They made it as hard as they could on them. We are being robbed of the joy of our salvation. We literally are. There's this great line in this song. It goes like this. It says, nail it to the tree and walk away free. I love that. Nail it to the tree and walk away free. It drives me crazy when Christians repeatedly look at the bad side of everything. And I'm as guilty as anybody. And I need to be very conscious of it, but so do you. I can come to church on a Sunday morning, like this Sunday morning, and look at it half full, because it is half full. I'm looking at the bad side. But the other side, the bright side, is you're here. I just can't understand, and I'm including myself here now. I can't understand how we continually view the bad side of everything. It seems to be our focus. John 4:4 says this. John 4, chapter 4, verse 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You've already won. You've already won. And in John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It shouldn't be a surprise to us that there's things are going to be bad and things are going to be hard, and we're going to have people that mess with us all the time, and we're going to have things that don't go the way we want to go. God said, plain as day, you're going to have some trouble in this world, but you've already won. Lighten up a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We already have the victory because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. We can't live every day or every other day in the darkness. We need to live every day in the light of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And do it without worrying about where this world is headed. I mean, I hear so much doom and gloom, and I know you do too. You can't turn any direction, and somebody's telling you what is wrong with everything. What is wrong with each political party? What is wrong with this country? I mean, you just can't escape it. And you know what? I think as Christians, it's time we lightened up and looked at the brighter side of things. This man owned this real successful business, and it was so successful, he decided to open another place, another branch, his first one. People were sending him notes and cards and flowers congratulating him on his new opening. And when he arrived at the new place one morning to work, there was this huge, beautiful reef waiting for him. And it said on the banner, rest in peace. Now, he knew right away that there had been a mistake. So he called the florist to explain, and he explained all the things that were going wrong. And she could tell by listening to him on the phone that he was really angry. And so she said to him, "You're right, we made a huge mistake, but look at the brighter side. Somewhere today, there's a man being buried under a reef that says, 'Good luck in your new location.'" First Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in good time, casting all your cares on him, for he cares about you." If you don't understand the definition of all, see me later. Because I'm not going to explain it from up here. Everything. Cast everything on God because he cares about you. Take it all to God. The little stuff, the big stuff. What could be too big for God or too little for him? What could be so big or little that God couldn't handle it? You ever listen to a child pray, a young child pray? They take everything to God. They take everything to God. They'll pray for their sick puppy as if they think God cares, and he does. They'll pray, "God, is it true if my daddy uses his golf words at home, he won't go to heaven?" No, my kids didn't do that, but because I never let them go golf with me. "Dear God, I bet it's really hard for you to love everybody in the world. There's only 4 people in my house and I can't do it." "Dear God, please send my brother to a different day camp this summer." They pray like that. It's important to them. It seems like little trivial things that we don't even think about, but it's important to them, and they have the confidence to tell God what's going on in their lives. Kids believe that God cares about everything, even the really small things. You can listen to them in prayer, and you can know they believe God's listening to them, and they believe, no matter how small their prayers, that it's important to God. And they're right. I have a granddaughter and a great-granddaughter under 6 years old. And both of them pray incredibly well. The difference is that they pray with such a conviction that they not only believe God hears them, you do just listening to them. Little things are big things to God. Jesus said, "Humble yourselves, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." But what stands in the way of that a lot of times? Our pride. Our pride makes us think that we can handle this. I got this. You know, you might be a really faithful Christian walking with the Lord, but I consider myself a faithful Christian walking with the Lord, but all the times I got to catch myself with saying, "I got this. I got this." It's really tough for guys because we want to seem like we've got everything under control, and we don't want anybody to know that we're not in control of everything that's going on in our lives. But we know that sometimes we're lost. We've lost our way. We know that sometimes our wife knows we're lost. We even know that the voice on your GPS knows you're lost. Yet we go on. We go on in our own power. "God, I got this." How can you possibly look on the brighter side of things in this world and believe in the same time, "God, I got this"? Those are contrary statements. Remember what Peter said? He said, therefore, humble yourselves. What do you think he meant by that? Therefore, humble yourselves. Here's what I believe he meant. Kneel before the tree and go away free. Take it to God, nail it to the cross, take your burdens to the cross, give them to the Lord. Get up off your knees, walk away, and leave them there. I know, I'm talking about our attitudes a lot here, but I know it's becoming really difficult in this world that we live in because there is a lot of stress and worry everywhere. I mean, you almost have to isolate yourself from it. In fact, that's what my cardiologist told me. He said, you need to not listen to any news. Turn off your TV. Don't ever listen to the news or ever talk about politics. It's bad for your health. He says, I can give you all kinds of things, but that's one of the best things you can do. Because there's stress and worry all around us. And somehow, even if we're Christians, it seeps in. You know, when you're standing up to it in your neck, it's hard not to be affected by it. It's hard not to get caught up in it. Now, some of you, I know, are not going to like this next statement because it's going to hit really close to home. But I can clarify that. It hits really close to home for me. It really does. Have you ever noticed that the most stressed out people also happen to be the most self-centered people? The most stressed out people are usually the most self-centered people. They are so stressed trying to have things right and trying to have things their own way. They're not thinking about anyone else. They're thinking about the problems they got and the stress and worry they got and what they're going to do to fix it. And they take God out of the picture. They're just become so self-centered. God's gone out of this picture. Trying to fix everything rather than what God said to do. Just let it go. I got this. Give it to God. Take it to the cross. Because let me tell you something. The only place you're going to find any peace in this world is at the foot of the cross. It's come to that. The only place left, even in this country, where there's any peace is at the foot of the cross. I'm going to ask you this morning to join me in something. Sometimes there's just things in our life that we need to nail to the cross. Saved or lost, the answer to everyone here is found at the cross. Saved or lost. I'm going to ask you to take a hammer this morning in your hand and nail whatever is standing between you and the Lord to our cross over here. Do you have sin in your life this morning? Well, of course you do. Nail it to the cross. Do you have worries? You're worrying about health. You're worrying about someone else's health in your life. You're worrying about the finances, your job. You're worrying about your children. Your grandchildren that have to grow up in this kind of world like this, nail it to the cross. Do you have fears this morning? Do you have fear of what this world is able to do to you? When Jesus already told us he can't do anything to us, throw everything on him because he cares about us. Do you fear what this world is doing? Nail it to the cross this morning. You have anger in your life. Something, you know, it's just been boiling up. You can't get over it. It's been a long time gone. Maybe even the person that you're angry with is a long time gone. But you're still holding it right here. You're still holding on to that anger. Nail it to the cross this morning. Maybe you're finding yourself giving in to some kind of temptation again. You've been there before and you just easy by easy, you're going back. Nail it to the cross this morning. Maybe you're bitter for whatever reason. And you can't let it go. For me, again, you guys learn way too much about me. But for me, again, that's the hardest part for me to let go is my bitterness towards somebody or towards something happens. I get bitter and I have a hard time getting over it. Nail it to the cross. Maybe you're not as close to God as you used to be. You used to really have your life was on fire. Your heart was on fire for God. You were just looking for what you could do for God. But maybe you're not as close to that to God as you used to be. Nail it to the cross. I don't have time to cover everything. But I will tell you, the big one for me is worry. Consider the times that we're living in. I know it's hard not to worry. Even about spiritual things. This world has got a hold of me, and I worry about spiritual things that I don't have anything to do with. They're in God's hands. But I still worry about them. But just like all the others this morning, we need to nail that to the cross. Whatever you're struggling with this morning, don't leave here this morning without symbolically nailing it to the cross. Nail it to the tree this morning and walk away free. This morning we gave everybody one of these, a pencil and a card. Does everybody have them? If you don't have them, put your hand up and Shelley will bring you one. Jenny, she never. Bring Anna a new card too, please. I want you to take that card. And I want you to physically write on it whatever it is in life that you're struggling with. Nobody else is going to know, but I can tell you what's on mine. All of the above. It just is, all of the above. I'm struggling with every one of those things. Write whatever is on your mind and on your heart, whatever you really think you're struggling with. Then I want you to come up here to this corner. We've got some nails and a hammer, and I want you to nail it to the cross. Don't put your name on it. God knows your handwriting. And I want you to just write, just keep it short. Just what's really burning on your heart and what you think is keeping you away from God, and just fold it like this. Bring it up here and nail it to the cross. If you need some help with the nailing part, Aaron will come up and help you with that. But if you're able to do it, I encourage you, nail it there yourself. It might seem to you like a small thing, but it's a step in the right direction. We say all the time, do this, do that. If you want to lift the burden out of your life, do this, talk to that person, read this, read that. All of those things are totally acceptable. But if you want any inner peace this morning, write down what's going on in your life and nail it to that cross. And walk away free. Leave it here. Aaron, you want to come up? And if you can't hammer, Aaron will hammer it for you. But again, and don't drive the nails all the way in our cross, please. Just tack them up there. and we'll take these down and not unfold them and shred them all. We won't look at any of them. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, you got to believe that you can leave that there and he'll do something about it. Just like the heart of a child, you got to believe that he'll do something about it. Leave it there. Whatever you nailed on that cross, leave it there and walk out of here free. We pray here every Sunday morning before the service starts. We pray several things, but one of the things we always include in our prayer is, Lord, don't let anyone come here and leave the same person. And I really want to emphasize this morning. Whatever you did this morning, whatever you put upon that thing, believe like a child and leave it here. God heard you. He'll work on it because he cares for you. No matter what this world looks like, no matter what this world's direction it's going in, no matter how many problems we see everyone, we've already won. We are protected. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all the things that you've done in your life. Lord, thank you for the work you did on the cross for our sins. Lord, we can't even understand the grace of that, Lord. But it doesn't mean we're not grateful for it. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, I thank you for every answered prayers that you're going to give here this morning. And Lord, I believe with all my heart, they are going to be answered prayers, Lord. But only if we have the mind to do one thing. The mind to do one thing. Lord, to believe that you can take care of it. Believe you're going to take care of it. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.